All right, thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray Lager. I will be your host this evening. And Butte Views and Beyond, a program that focuses on our cultural assets here in the North State, the great true North, as we like to call it sometimes. Northern California, of course. Coming right out of Chico, California. Talk about different events, things that support the arts, the community, community building, economic development through arts and culture and the like. And it's a very broad paintbrush, as you could imagine. Everything from festivals, concerts, restaurants, clubs, just the, you know, the things that are happening, the people that make it happen, and the effects they have. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by you, of course, KZFR supporter, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art, and also by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 20, just behind Nobby's. Open 4 to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 9, Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumplingchico.com, where they love food, flavor, and community. All right, Ken Clark Trio, ripping up that B3, Eternal Funk. And that's our theme song, also the title track of the CD. Got some nice interviews for you, a lot of things happening as usual here in the North State, and we're going to get started here in just a minute with a fun event coming to Laxon Auditorium by Chico's own Community Ballet. Well, I have the pleasure of introducing Deborah Jorgesma. Did I get that right? All right, close enough. And Isabella Nyman. And Deborah is the artistic director at the Chico Community Ballet. And Isabella is one of their senior dancers, ballerinas. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So you guys are getting ready for Sleeping Beauty at Laxon Auditorium. How exciting.
It's really exciting. We've been working on this production, I would say for me, it's been like 8 months, but for the dancers, it's been 6 months.
Wow, that's quite a commitment.
A huge commitment.
And how big a company do you have? How many dancers will you have in this performance?
We have probably about 35 actual dancers, but then we also bring in community guests for more of the walk-on character and acting roles. So it's a mixture of both.
Oh, okay. So,
it's probably about 60 people.
About 60. Wow, that's a lot of choreography and a lot of coordination.
Yes, it is. I would agree.
Wow. And Isabella, how long have you been involved in ballet?
I have been involved for 14 years now, which
what?
I'm only 17, so most of my life, definitely.
Wow.
And I've been at Chico Creek for a very long time and with Chico Community Ballet, this company, for a very long time. And it's been a very, very positive experience. And I've loved it for all the 14 years that I've been there.
Wow. This is now, have you performed in Laxon before? Since you've.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You probably got a bunch of them under your belt, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Oh, that's got to be really, really fun. And what's the age group of the performers?
Our youngest dancer is 8. And then we kind of go up with some of our actors into probably their 50s.
Sure. Okay.
40s, 50s. But most of our serious dancers are at the age of 14 to 18.
Okay, and that's the Chico Community Ballet. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the, about that organization?
Well, our dancers actually they train year round, and our company has auditions every August. We have different divisions, so we have a division for the younger children that are like 6 to 8. That's called our pre-company. We have various divisions for levels going up through what, like Isabella said, mm-hmm. senior company. So it's a training program. It gives a chance for young dancers to see if this is, you know, their passion, their desire. And like Isabella, you know, if they get hooked, then, mm-hmm. you know, they train all those years and improve. And it's a huge commitment. And, but it certainly gets you prepared for real life. And, it also teaches you about your own passions and loves and self-discipline, organization. I mean, it's great. So kids take, depending on their levels, weekly classes. And then like for Sleeping Beauty, we've been rehearsing every Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Yeah. It's, I mean, the commitment, the dedication, like you said, I mean, the things that it has done for your lives and the lives of the other dancers is really spectacular. And hats off for your commitment at 17 to be having doing this for, you know, 14 years. That's absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And it's, I mean, you're an athlete. I mean, it's, you know, people think like, oh, you know, it's the arts, you know. No, that's, it's like, are you kidding me? It's like gymnastics.
Yeah, a lot of times people underestimate dance and ballet in particular. But we definitely are athletes, like you said, and having also the layer of art as well, because it is an art. So it's a sport and an art at all at the same time. So it's sometimes even harder than a lot of other sports.
Oh, totally. Because, I mean, it's you have the discipline of the art that is guiding the physical output. It's like, OK, think of basketball players, but you can only use certain moves, you know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's the amount of control is unreal. That's really stunning. And I would think, you know, I mean, obviously, there's a lot more consciousness about dance because it's such a big part of our culture right now. So I think that's got to be that's got to feel good as well. You know, it's not like, you know, oh, dance, you know. I know when I was a kid, that's how we looked at it. Oh, dance. You know, now it's like everybody wants to be a dancer. Everybody wants to be like, you know, in the spotlight.
And, you know, and that's been exciting to see how much dance has opened up to the awareness of our community and to our kids. So that's exciting. But then they find out it takes a lot of work. And, you know, so then that sometimes changes their drive. But yeah, it's been an exciting time.
Oh yeah, no, it really is. It's an exciting time to be in that field, I would imagine.
Yes.
Now tell us what you have up your sleeve for the performance. Is there any, you know, this is kind of a combination of theatrics and dance combined, right?
Absolutely. So with Sleeping Beauty, I've done it this is our fourth version of Sleeping Beauty. And one of the things that I think is kind of signature to me is I really like taking the classics. I like honoring the classics, but also making it a little bit more user-friendly for our audience. So I have like a little bit of a Disney section where I bring in like animals, and we've got these amazing, like our costumes, our sets, everything's brand new for this production. We build our own costumes. We've actually rented a lot of our drops for this production. We had the animal masks were made by this incredible artist in England. So it has a flair of fun, comedy, classicalness, and the dancers get to perform. So they're not just out there doing ballet steps. I think that's what's so beautiful about ballets like Sleeping Beauty and the Nutcracker is it's a combination of taking their training as a dancer, but also allowing them to really experience it performing and acting.
Yeah. Stretch it out a little bit and nice.
But the ballet's full of like all sorts. It's action-packed. There's evil fairies and beautiful, dazzling fairies, good fairies. We have
monsters.
Yes. So it's action packed. It's great. It'll keep young children entertained. I think this is, as well as I think it's got enough of an adult interest that adults are going to enjoy this. So I think it's perfect for families. It's perfect for, actually, this ballet premiered in Russia 133 years ago.
Wow.
As of January 15th, 1890. And so it's kind of a celebration of that premiere, as well as, of course, we're in the month of February, and what better ballet to go see than The Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Month of Love.
Yeah, the Month of Love. And it's, you know, it is the classic tale, right?
It is. You know, people don't have to worry about not understanding it. I mean, I really work hard, and I think I've accomplished that through other ballets like Cinderella, in making it so that people come and they don't even realize they're watching a ballet. They're watching theater, and it's with incredible movement and costumes and sets and acting. And there's a lot going on.
Yeah, no, it sounds like kind of, like you said, the perfect family entertainment. And I think, again, I think for all ages, people are just dazzled by it. And the story is easy to follow, so it's fun to just kind of get lost in it. And I could just see the wonder of, like, you know, 5 and 6 year olds be like, you know, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And actually, we do, after a lot of the performances, we have an autograph party. So a lot of the little kids and their parents and anyone that wants to see the dancers more up close, they can go and take a picture with us, or we can offer an autograph if they want. But you can really get to see up close all of the actors and us dancers if you would like.
Yeah, that's great, because it gives kids that connection, you know, and then it gives them that inspiration. So that's really sweet that you guys do that. Now, let's say you have performances around February 3rd, 4th, and 5th, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so, it's one weekend.
Yeah, all in one weekend. I know Monday's going to be a recovery day for sure.
Yeah.
So February 3rd at 7:30.
Correct.
Saturday the 4th at 1 and 6 p.m. You have two shows on Saturday?
Yep.
Wow. And then on Sunday the 5th is at 1 p.m.
Correct. And we also have, because there's still tickets available, is we're doing two field trip performances on Friday the 3rd. And they can contact University Public Events for that.
Okay.
And what the field trip is a lot of times schools will bring their classroom.
Sure.
The first one's at 9:30. The second one's at 11:30. It's at a reduced rate. A lot of schools and classrooms will get businesses to, there's a slight charge per student, but it's not, you know, it's very reduced. And we also give a little bit behind the scenes experience. So they get to see part of the ballet. And then we also do some fun educational aspects to the field trip series.
Oh, that sounds fun. And of course, tickets are at the University box office, at Chico Performances. Just give it a click. I think a lot of people are familiar with that. And tell me a little bit about the how long has Chico Community Ballet been in existence? And if people were like, I want to help the organization, how would they do that?
So we have been in existence for a little over 40 years.
Wow.
I finally was able to say that. It seems like a long time. But we've been around the community for a very long time, producing full-length ballets, training young dancers. In fact, this performance, we have three alumni dancers coming back, dancing some of our roles, lead roles for the ballet, which is always such an honor.
Oh, that's and, cool.
Yeah, and we are a nonprofit educational corporation, so donations, you can always contact us via our website, which is www.chicocommunityballet.org, and you can make donations there. You could also contact Chico Creek Dance, which is our training school for all our young dancers.
Very good. Very good.
Once again, need support.
Yeah. Well, of course, we'd love to get that in for you guys. So once again, as we wrap this up, Sleeping Beauty coming to Laxon Auditorium, performed by the Chico Community Ballet, Friday night, February 3rd, 7:30, Saturday, two shows, 1 and 6 p.m., and Sunday, February 5th at 1 p.m., and then there's also some Friday afternoon kind of dress rehearsal performances, workshop performances?
No, Chico Performances does what's called a field trip series. So they have a lot of artists come in throughout the year, and they present shorter 60-minute programs for school children.
Oh, got it.
Okay. All the field trip performance, they can call university box office and find out more information about that if they're interested for their classrooms.
All right, very good. Well, thank you guys so much for spending time with us this evening on Beauty Views and Beyond. Isabella, thank you for your dedication. And
of course, thank you for having us.
For sure. Your future is so bright. I'm sure that you're going to be doing this for your entire life.
Thank you. I hope so.
All righty. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Ray.
All righty. Sleeping Beauty coming to Laxon. Very cool. Chico Community Ballet giving so much back and really helping develop just reaching it out. All righty, we'll take a little music break. We'll come back right here on Beauty Views and Beyond. Thanks for spending your Thursday evening with us. Gray Boy, dropping it down from Freestyle and Light Bake right here on Beaut Views. Give you a little jiggy in the kitchen. Alrighty, it's that time of year again, so let's bring it on back with the Pooch Playoffs. I'd like to welcome back Erin Lackey, owner of Erin Lackey Photography, and she joined us just about this time last year with the Pooch Playoffs, and this is your second year doing this. And let's see, think March Madness, think cutest dog photograph, and helping the local animal shelters. Does that kind of sum it up?
Yes. Oh gosh. Thank you, Ray, for having me back on to KZFR. We started this last year and it just kind of blew up. So what it is we're doing this Ultimut competition fundraiser called Pooch Playoffs. And it coincides with the March Madness basketball tournament. And essentially what it is it's a fundraiser for our local animal shelter. I've partnered with the Northwest SPCA in Oroville. And I'll share a little bit about why I chose them later on. But we do pet portrait sessions, and it's a whole thing. We take those portraits and we put them in a bracket, and then the community they go on and they get to vote for the cutest canine. And so each round, dogs are matched up to each other. I mean, and they're all adorable. So it kind of makes it hard. But they're all matched up with each other and people get to vote once a day. And then, you know, we narrow it down to like Sweet 16 and then the Elite 8 and Final Four and the, you know, then the final match with, and
the ultimate cutie, cutest canine is crowned. And it's a really great fundraiser. So last year we raised, which just blew me out of the water, we raised $3,217.
Wow,
for the Northwest SPCA. So yeah,
that's great. I love the fact that you have the, you know, you break it down, you go from the, you start with 32 and then it goes to Sweet 16. So you have this excitement as people want to come back and see, you know, did Fido make it? And look, little Dottie got knocked out. Oh my goodness, an upset in the making, you know?
Right. And it was so interesting to see how many, you know, how competitive we can get with our dogs, because, we're also, we love our, you know, fur babies. And I'm a boutique photographer. So what I really specialize in is creating large wall art, heirloom albums, things that you can have in your home. And so, for a lot of people, this is a wonderful opportunity for them to get like their first, you know, boutique pet portrait session so that they have something to take home with them. Because, you know, I forget the saying, but it's, our dogs are part of our lives, their whole life. One of those things. It's like, you know, they're part of our families. Let's celebrate them in this way. So you get a cute session, you get a fun swag bag with emphasis on the wag. We have local businesses that donate to the bags. Last year, a Sierra Nevada brewery actually donated, some fun squeaky toys that were like beer cans. They went in there. It was so fun. I got an email out to them. So we'll see. I'm pretty excited. I think they're going to sign up again. So, it's just so much fun all around.
Oh yeah. That sounds great. I love the beer can squeaky toy. That's hilarious. Yeah. It's fun. And the money goes right back. It goes into the local shelters and, and it's a limited thing. So it's what, the first 32 people to sign up?
32. Yeah. So actually last year we did 51 and I quickly learned, my limits. So we have limited it to 32 dogs, for the competition. Now I do have several people that are like, well, I want to donate to the charity. I want my portrait session, and they want, you know, they want to get like a swag bag or a gift or whatever, not necessarily participate in the pooch playoffs. And so that is a, you know, people are doing that, which is awesome.
Right. That's an option where you don't have to get it. If you're a non-competitive type,
yes,
you can do that. You don't have to be like Erin and I. Okay.
But the reason why I try, and here's the thing, like there's so many, wonderful shelters in our community. I have chosen Northwest SPCA, because I have a personal connection with them. My sister, who is no longer living, she adopted her cat from Northwest SPCA. And so it's one of those things on my heart. And we had multiple shelter animals, stray dogs, actually, that would just show up to our house randomly when I was little. And so we utilized the Northwest SPCA a lot. So I love what they're doing. I mean, so many shelters are doing so many things. But this is the one that I've chosen to support and partner with. So,
yeah, well, that's great. And, you know, again, they service kind of the Southeast County, right? So they service Oroville and Berry Creek and these areas that have been impacted like everywhere else. But particularly Southeast Butte County has been hit hard last couple of years with the fires and things like that. So
it's definitely
a worthy establishment and cause, like all these things are. Anything we could do to make life better for our for the pets, for the animals, for the things that keep us sane and, you know, give us balance. I mean, you know, it's just it's just that calming energy that those sad little eyes bring you.
I know. And actually, when I was talking to a couple of the staff when we were setting this up last year, one of the things that they said, and I'm assuming that this is true for other shelters as well, but after the holiday, you know, there's a lot of giving involved around the holidays, and a lot of gifts come in, but it's those few months after where they really need the help. And so that's why I've really kind of decided to do this in March, because that's 3 months after holidays, and maybe we can give them a little boost in their
Yeah, no, it's very true. That's up and down, where, you know, everybody gets excited and then things kind of cool off and people kind of like, you know, they're just, it's hibernation time. It's winter. I know that a lot of shelters and just nonprofits, food banks and things, you know, January, mm-hmm. February, March are usually their slowest times.
Yeah.
So it's really great to see that push. And this is like a national campaign, right? This isn't just a local thing you made up. This is like part of a much bigger thing.
Yes. So actually I'm part of a network of boutique photographers. So this is happening all over the country. Actually, it's international because we have some in Canada. But we each do our local competition. And then the winner, the ultimate winner, will go on to compete in the national competition, and they have a chance to go up against all of the local community winners and win. So it's pretty cool.
It's like the World Series of dog.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize it was like that. Like, I thought it was just like a local region, you know, so.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's, you know, it's really fun, and your enthusiasm and joy that you bring to it, you know, I mean, that speaks volumes amongst itself. So.
Thank you. It's so much fun. Photographing dogs is, I had no idea how much fun it could be. A lot of people, I have talked to other photographers and they're like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? And it's actually, I kind of surprise my clients sometimes, you know, or surprise the owners, because they're in there with their dogs and I'll start making like funny squeaky sounds or weird barks and stuff, and they kind of look at me and I'm like, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you that we kind of make a lot of noise in here. But that's how we get the images. So
yeah, and get their attention. So if people sign up, one of the benefits obviously is you're helping support local shelter, for sure.
Yes,
you're participating in this kind of fun dog March Madness event, which,
yes,
which right away, I mean, just bragging rights of talking about your friends. Or when you go to the dog park or something, you're like, oh yeah, no, I made the final. I'm in the Sweet 16, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, so that you get that aspect, but you're also going to get a boutique photograph of your dog.
Yes. Yep. So you'll get the portrait session. And then with me, which is just super fun. We do those in my studio in Orville. And then you'll get a swag bag, emphasis on the wag. So local businesses, will donate. They donate to the bags. It's pretty fun. You'll get a portrait gift from me. This year we're doing an acrylic, keychain, that will have your dog's, image on it, and you'll get to carry that around. You know, talk about bragging rights, you know, when you're out in the store and you go to pull your keys out or you go to get in your car, people are like, oh, what is that? Oh, is that your dog? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So that's super fun. And the chance to win prizes. So, and it's so much fun. The proceeds of the entry fee go directly to the Northwest SPCA. So it's just a great cause all around.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so if people are interested, website, Facebook page, what do we got going on?
Yeah, so we are opening up registration. So if you are interested, you want to just check it out and see what's going on, head to my website. It's erinlackey.com/poochplayoffs. And that'll take you directly to the page. You can kind of see a photo there of the donation, the giant check that we gave to Northwest SPCA last year. That was super fun. And a couple of the entrants from last year.
Oh, cool.
It's super fun.
So you see some pictures. And Lackey is Lackey, just like
EY. Yes. Yes.
Just like it sounds. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, you know, we'll have to check it out. And I know this is, it's just a fun thing. It's just a fun way to go about it. And like you said, you know, we're coming out of 3 weeks of rain. I think people, the sun's back, and let's have some fun with this.
Yeah, we're all so excited over here. So
very cool. Again, erinlackeyphotography.com/poochplayoffs. Is that right?
Just erinlackey.com.
erinlackey.com/poochplayoffs.
Yep.
All right. erinlackey.com/poochplayoffs. To get your furry friend registered for the Pooch Playoffs, March Madness 2023.
Yes.
Very cool. Thank you so much for joining us, Erin, and the best of luck. And I know you're going to crush it and make some more money for the shelters.
That's what we're hoping. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye.
It was a fun event, and yeah, it's Very creative way to go about doing some fundraising. All right, let's take a little message here, a little forward promote. We'll get back. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond.
Listen to the radio, and what do you hear? Mostly male musicians. Here's the alternative. Face the music. Tilts the scales in the opposite direction with 2.5 hours of music performed, written, and arranged by women. Every Thursday, 7:30 to 10 p.m., hosted by Terry Reynolds.
I would like to welcome Erin Wells to Butte Views and Beyond this evening. Erin is a longtime art advocate and artist, and you've been in Chico since 1976. Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow. Where did you hail from?
We came from the Bay Area. Grew up in Walnut Creek.
Oh, very nice. Well, I saw on a recent post that you are doing some children's art classes at the Chico Art Center. And I thought, oh, after 3 weeks of rain and cool weather, what a great thing to talk about.
Well, it's a lot of fun to work with children. And our program is on Saturdays, every other Saturday. And we have a short program. It's from 11 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. So it's quite a short time. Each week, we're going to do a project that the artist, the child, can take home and then have another project that they can work on the following week.
Oh, nice.
I'm working in conjunction with Sadie Card. So the projects are really a lot of fun. Sadie has a great, great inventory of ideas, and I'm a great helper. So we have a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun. Now, are you doing two-dimensional? You're doing all kind of things?
All kinds of different things. We've made birdhouses out of gourds.
Oh.
Last week, we made ceramic hearts, which this week they've been fired, and they're going to be strung up on beautiful ribbons for little mobiles to take home.
Oh, how sweet. So you're doing all kinds of things. You're doing three-dimensional ceramics.
Anything we think of. We're working on our future plans for St. Patrick's Day. We want to have the children learn a little bit about a lot of different art venues so they can say, oh, I'd rather paint, or I like making things with clay, or I like to do paper mache. Anything they can think of, we can help them learn and do. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds great. Sounds like it's fun for you guys, too.
Yes.
I love that. Now, what's the age group?
The age starts around 6 and goes up to 10.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a good grouping. 6-year-olds are a lot of fun, and 10-year-olds are about done with wanting to get group lessons. They're ready to start real classes. So that we're more like an introduction to art.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. And how long have you guys been, how long has this been going on? Is this something you just started?
We just started right around Christmas time. And after Christmas, we continued. The classes are open to anyone they don't have to sign up early. They can come in on the Saturday that we're open, that we're having a class. It's the second Saturday of every month and the fourth Saturday of every month at 11 o'clock. No requirement as far as signing up. They can come in. It's $10 a meeting.
Okay, great. Oh, that sounds so much fun. And for people that don't know about the Chico Art Center, let's tell them a little bit about that. And you guys are in a very historic location.
We are. We're in the original train depot building. And the class right now is being held in an old rail car, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, you're in the rail car, huh?
In the rail car, which is very special. We feel very privileged to get to do that. And the kids seem to really like it. It's a great little place to work.
Well, have fun. If you've ever driven, what is that, 5th and Orange? Is that the cross street?
It is. It's on 5th and Orange, exactly.
Yeah, 5th and Orange, right there. There's also the bus depot is there. And, you know, when did they bring that rail car in? About 20 years ago or something?
Oh, easily 20 years, yes.
Yeah, I remember when that happened, and they brought literally a railroad car, and it was a cafe. It was a coffee house for a while. And has gone through some things. So now that's got to be so much fun for kids just being in an old railroad car. That's worth it right there.
Exactly. It has a great atmosphere.
Oh, how much fun is that? That's really fun. That's really fun. So if, again, it's right on the railroad tracks on 5th and over there between as you're heading towards Nord, right?
That's right. We're on the side where 5th turns into Nord, we're right there.
And not only is that the location for the railroad car, but it's also Chico Art Center, which is a fabulous institution, has a beautiful gallery, and offers a whole bunch of programs.
That's correct. The Art Center has been in existence now for 60 years, or actually 62 years, and has classes and a beautiful gallery. Every month and a half or so, the gallery changes up. So if you like a certain kind of art, you should check our website and see if it's going to be in the gallery so you can come and see it. Oh, we also have a great little gift shop. So there's always a lot of stuff at the Art Center to see and do.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the gift shop, because that gets often forgotten, I think. And I know that how strong people feel about shopping local in Chico and, you know, really helping to sustain the community that we have. And, you know, buy right there from the artist at the Art Center. That's great.
It is. The Art Center's gift shop is stocked with wonderful art done by our membership. So there's nothing that isn't local. Most of our memberships live right here in town, and some live a little ways out, but they still put things in the gift shop. And there's nothing in the gift shop priced over $100. It's a gift shop, not a fancy store.
Right.
And there's, I mean, it's a great place. If you are looking for little cards to send to your friends, there are some beautiful cards, original art, and they're all well worth it.
Yeah, and really, it's, I mean, we call it Chico Art Center, but it's almost kind of like Butte County Art Center to a certain extent, because I know you have artists from Paradise and Oroville and yeah, you know, greater Butte
That's
County.
That's exactly right. And the gift shop is going to be carrying some pizza boxes in February, which will be an opportunity for anybody to buy a pizza box to turn it into art. And there will be more about that on the Chico Art Center webpage if you get a chance, and if you're interested in turning a pizza box into a piece of art.
Oh, I love that. I remember you guys did that last year. It's been going on for a while.
Yeah, and we're going to do it again. And this year, the pizza box show is going to be in the gallery, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Do you know the dates of that by chance? I could look it up.
Not yet. I know the pizza boxes will be available for sale the first week of February.
First week of February. Okay. Now, think about this. How many times have you sat around with leftover pizza and you're at 4 a.m. and all of a sudden it looks like artwork to you? I've been there.
Yeah, haven't we all?
Haven't we all? Exactly. Oh, how much fun is that? That's really fun. And of course, you know, your coup de grace, whatever, your main event is probably the Open Studios that everybody knows so well.
Yes. Open Studios is in the fall, and it's quite an event because last year we had almost 90 artists opening their doors to you, to everybody, to come and see their work and see how the work is created. It's a great event.
Awesome. It's awesome. Well, this has been a real eye opener today, hasn't it?
Well, thank you, Ray, very much. We appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let's, you know, chicoartcenter.com is where all the information is. And again, let's, for people that just joined us a little late, let's talk a little bit. So on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month, You have the children's art classes for students 6 to 10 years old at 450 Orange Street in the old railroad car.
That's right. And it's only it starts at 11 and it's over at 1. So mom can drop off the kids if she wants, go to the farmer's market and come back.
And Sadie Carr, is that your collaborator on this?
Yes, it is.
All right. Sadie Carr and Aaron Wells are the... It sounds like you guys keep your hands full with those kids.
Well, we like to do that. That's the best part.
Yeah, it's got to be fun. I love the idea that when the children go, that when they leave at 1 o'clock, they're bringing something home to show their parents. They're getting self-esteem. Their parents are getting some bragging rights. You know, they're having fun. They show it off. I mean, that is so important for the development of not just the child but the entire family.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. And you know, the arts, what else is there, right?
Well, for me, that's not much.
Well, you know, we sustain, we go to work, we do what we have to do. But really, if you look at, you know, you might think, well, arts, I'm not really into going to art galleries. Well, I bet you watch movies. I bet you listen to music. I bet you like to look at pretty things, you know. I bet you look at pictures on your phone and your Instagram. Well, that's all art. It's all art.
Exactly right.
So very cool. Well, thank you so much. And for people to get more information, just go to the website, ChicoArtsCenter.com. Yep. Is that correct?
That's correct. Or you may call 530-895-8726.
8726. Is that the Art Center?
It is.
Okay. So let's repeat that one more time. Chico Art Center, 895.
530-895-8726.
8726. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond, Aaron. We really appreciate it. And hey, let's catch up about those pizza box exhibit. That sounds fun. I'm going to put that on my calendar.
All right. Thanks, Ray, very much.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Pizza box art. Woo. I'm ready for that. Getting, got about 15 minutes left here, 16 minutes. Butte Views and Beyond. We'll take a little bit of break. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Ray, and stay tuned for Peanut Butter and Jelly Time at 7 o'clock. All right, little Mel Brown hanging out at the Chicken Shack. Shanty, name of the tune. From Chicken Fat. Yeah, baby. Alrighty. Well, speaking of times of year, it's heading right into February, which means that one of the big events here in Northern California, the Wildflower Century Ride, is coming up, and it's back in full force, and Chico Velo is back as well, and let's learn a little bit about this year's Wildflower.
Jade Elkhart is the Communications and Events Manager for Chico Velo. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thanks for having me, Ray. Excited to be here and chat about all the good stuff we've got going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think in case of our listeners are pretty familiar with Chico Velo. You guys have been supporters of ours for years and vice versa. And of course, we have a big cycling community that is part of the listenership. But let's talk about the upcoming Wildflower, because now that things are back to normal a little more, it's pretty exciting. And I know you got some new added incentives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last year was our first year back with the Wildflower after the pandemic, and we had a great turnout. So we're really excited to bring it back again this year. And yeah, we'll be doing a lot of the same things as usual. One of the exciting things about this year is that we're really feeling confident about being able to bring back the classic route going up Honey Run. We're working pretty extensively with the Town of Paradise to make that happen. We know that was kind of a big thing last year, so we've been working on it. We're really excited to bring that part back. We'll have some of our longer routes again this year, the 125 and the other 100 that is going to have a little bit more climbing than the classic Wildflower. And yeah, lots of good stuff coming in. Yeah, just for the event in general.
Yeah, awesome. And it's going to be on the 30th, is that right?
Yep, this year it's going to be just like always, the last Sunday of April. So okay. The ride will be on April 30th. And then we will also, like years previous, we'll have the Wildfest party going on the Saturday before. Sierra Nevada will be our title sponsor again this year. We'll have the Wildflower IPA, a bunch of great vendors and sponsors at that event, food trucks, all kinds of fun stuff, games.
Awesome. Where is the party held? Is that out at the fairgrounds? Or?
Yep, it'll be at the fairgrounds this year. We'll have the big commercial building expo. We'll have, like I said, Sierra Nevada will have their booth outside. We'll have games out there. And yeah, it's open to the public. So I really am pushing to remind people this year that it's not just for Wildflower riders. It is where people who are riding the Wildflower can come and pick up their registration packet. But we'd love to just get everybody out in the community to come out and celebrate and hang out and just celebrate Chico as a community around bikes in general.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. The Saturday night is, I mean, you know, before you've had a dinner and but it's been mostly the riders or a lot of people that come in from out of the area.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years, if you maybe have family riding in the Wildflower, you know, they'll come along, but yeah, it is. It's a free event. So, you know, if you're in Chico on a Saturday night, you know, it's springtime, the weather's going to be nice. I really am encouraging folks to come out and just maybe if they haven't ridden the Wildflower before, it's a great time to come learn about it. Just support all of our local businesses. We'll have all kinds of different vendors out there, whether that be like other local businesses that we work with as sponsors or merchandise or all kinds of things. We'll also be selling like Chico Velo merchandise as well. So just a great time to come out, learn about the organization, learn about the ride. It is one of the largest centuries in California. So definitely not worth missing.
Yeah, for sure. And especially, you know, it's a Saturday night. It's a little community building right there for people that, you know, I mean, myself included, you know, I ride, you know, I kind of taken some time off, but it's like, but I'm always out there by myself, you know, and it's like, oh, here's a way to like actually like meet up with other people and you don't have to have a commitment or anything like that. No pressure, but you can go out, hang out, have some fun in a real Chico way out at the fairgrounds. And I think that's really cool. And especially people that, like I said, that are either new to the area or recreation. I know a lot of people have made changes in their lives in this new era that we live in. And what better way to get healthy than to get on your bike and enjoy the beautiful Chico area.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And I know we have so many new people moving to Chico all the time. You know, Chico Velo is a long-standing organization in Chico, but I'm always surprised by how few people know about it. They don't know, you know, that it's been around for 40 years or that the Wildflower has been around for almost, you know, 40 years. So yeah, grabbing some friends, biking on over there, celebrating everything great Chico has to offer, drinking some beers, riding bikes, all the good things.
Yeah, all the stuff Chico's famous for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. Well, that's exciting. And again, it's great to see everything coming back in full force, and especially the expanded rides. And like you said, going up Honey Run, that's always been like, you know, it's kind of like a rite of passage, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It was, it was a bummer that couldn't work out last year, but you know, that was all Department of, you know, just keeping people safe. And we're doing everything this year to, once again, keep people safe, but get people up there. So yeah, fingers crossed that we can then make that happen for sure.
Yeah. And if you haven't been up to Paradise lately or in the last, you know, I know, you know, everything it's gone through, but I lived up there for almost 25 years and it's just so different. It's just with the expanded views, let's say.
Exactly. Expanded views. I like that. Yeah. And our longer routes will be going. There's some really great new areas of bike path up in Paradise, and our longer routes will be taking those. So people who participate in the 125 and the other 100 will get to utilize that, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's honestly, it amazes me every time I go up there. I'm like, you can see the coastal range from everywhere now.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. It's great.
Yeah. You don't realize the canopy, you know, it's just like so different. It's like, wow, I never realized Concow was right there. I mean, it's literally right there. You know?
I know. We live in a pretty beautiful spot. It is different, but yeah, we just got to make what we can of it and enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it'll change in 20 years, but it is what it is now. And it's pretty, so is eye opening to say the least.
Yeah.
So let's see, people, information that are interested. Do you have a special website for the Wildflower or where should
they? Yep, absolutely. So first of all, if you're not following us on Instagram, it's at chico.velo, V-E-L-O on Instagram. We'll be doing lots of posts and social media information, highlighting our sponsors and all of the good stuff we're going to have at the Wildflower and at the Wildfest. To register for the Wildflower, we have a specific website separate from our Chico Velo website, and that's wildflowercentury.org. So on there, you can find the registration dates. Once again, April 30th this year will be the actual ride, and also all of the different route information. So you've got all the maps on there of the different routes you can choose from. They've got the elevation profiles, amount of rest stops, anything you want to know about all of the different rides. You know, we'll have the Child Flower for the kids this year, the Valley Flower 30 mile route for people who want to just, you know, take it easy, but still want to partake. I really encourage you, just even if you're a beginner cyclist, you don't need to have a road bike. If you've got a mountain bike or a gravel bike, just get out there, grab some friends and yeah, come celebrate Chico. Lots of pictures on there from previous years, if you are interested in that. And if you know about it, in previous years, we've had camping at the fairgrounds. We will have that again. We'll have the RV hookup camping and just regular campsites. So when you go to register on the website, you'll be able to pay for your camping too. And yeah, lots of great merch, working with the local Chico artists on our posters and, you know, that iconic Wildflower t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Which I'm pretty convinced some people just ride the bike ride to get the t-shirt. So we'll have an awesome one this year. Every rider that registers gets a complimentary Clean Canteen Wildflower Century Cup specific to this year. So yeah, we'll have a whole line of great merch and stuff like that. Also, we love our Wildflower volunteers. If you know, or if you don't know, we have some people who have volunteered for the Wildflower every single year since the very first Wildflower in 1981.
That's amazing. So,
shout out to Steve O'Brien and some of our old school ambassadors. Yeah, we've had so many people that have been with us for a long time. And but that being said, we are always looking for more volunteers. And in the next coming weeks, if you hop on our email list, we'll be sending out more information about how you can sign up to volunteer. So if you're interested in hearing this, we'd love to have you. We've got a ton of different great jobs you can sign up for. And it's just going to be fun. Yep, we'll feed you. You'll get a t-shirt and yeah, just have a great time.
Right. Highly collectible t-shirts at for sure.
Definitely. All right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jade. And again, wildflowercentury.org, all the details, sign up and all that. And get out there and have some fun and hit that Saturday night shindig at the fairgrounds.
The Wild Fest. We'll see you out there.
All righty. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. See ya.
The Wild Fest. Just another fun thing to do. Right here in Northern California, thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond and making me a part of your Thursday evening. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible, of course, and only by you. And also by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com, and also by Mountain Sports for over 45 years providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5:30 p.m., 11 to 4 on Sunday at 176 East 3rd Avenue, 3rd Street, East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. That's right, streets Ave, we know how that works out. Alrighty, again, thanks everybody for tuning in. I hope you have a nice evening. Looks like we're going to have a nice weekend, a little rain on Sunday possibly. If you're heading into the mountains, be careful. Highway 70 from Jarbo Gap all the way up to the Greenville Y is closed due to numerous slides. It's going to be closed for a while. So if you're heading up that way, Highway 32 is an option. But be careful out there. It's a little snowy and icy, so keep your mountain travel. And for those that partake, go Niners, baby. That's right, man. We love it. Here we go. Close it out with a little Ken Clark on the cuff. See you next time here on Butte Views and Beyond. This is a listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR.